CliffCentral.com.
Like we had 300,000 animals in the studio for a second there. Just the way I like it. You know that. Da, 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 da. Good morning, everybody. Yes, congratulate yourself.
You've got three animals in the studio.
I've got at least three animals in the studio. Well, I mean, Bulelo technically is the only one in the studio, and that's enough animals for most of us, but he is running things ably and securely and very beautifully in the studio in Rivonia, Johannesburg, whilst Leanne Moll is ensconced in her study at home. Siyasangweni is with his family in Durban. And I am in my house. Yes. And you join us. You come into our homes every morning, which is normally a home invasion, but for the purposes of this show, we'll call it like a family occasion, all right? How about that? Good morning, everybody. You made it to Friday. Congratulate yourself. Give yourself a pat on the back, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. So, first things first. Sia, when are you actually coming back? See, I think you're on mute. Stupid. How embarrassing.
Okay.
How embarrassing. The... 2 days in a row, you've been stupid enough to leave yourself on mute. That is so... that is well embarrassing. That is what
so
that is.
So, not the words, but the behavior of Leanne Moll. Does that count?
Yeah, Leanne Moll's behavior is terrible. So, when are you coming home?
Great apologies. So in the behavior of Leanne Moll, apologies. Coming back later today. So
thank
back
God
to normal
because last
Monday.
Last time you came running into the studio during the filming of our TV show at like 5 minutes past the time we'd started recording, and you were all flustered, and I thought you poor man, because you were also flying for the first time during lockdown. So it was I could see you were stressed out beyond belief. I thought if you leave it till Monday this time again, you're gonna be miserable.
Yeah, never doing that again.
No.
It's weird because, yeah, I just had never flown at that time. So I also assume, oh, sure, I'll just land and casually 20 minutes later I'll be in studio. It was a stupid effort on my part.
Clusterfuck. That's what you call it. Mm-hmm. All right. So, wow, it's Friday again. And the months are rolling by. We're into October. Things are starting to feel... more and more like they used to before this craziness began. And for many of us, that's a good thing. I can't imagine that there are people who think it's just awful that we're going back to normal. I love it. I love it.
What do you think their reservation might be?
Don't know. I think that there are people who've got Stockholm syndrome. Like they feel they've become prisoners in their own house and they kind of like it.
And I'm speaking on behalf of a friend.
Yeah. Yes, sure. It's you. It's you. Of course it's you.
Is the friend named Leanne?
No. It's P. Ann, but with an L.
P. Ann Moll. Okay. Yeah, I know P. Ann Moll. Yes. I think we met before once or twice.
Yeah. Or you've developed something akin to agoraphobia.
Yeah. That's
where
real.
You now just don't want to leave the house.
It's just so hard to think about the fact that this started in March. So you got March, well, a couple of days of March. So let's not even count it. Let's say April, May, June, July, August, September. And now we're into the seventh month, October.
Uh-huh.
That's a long time. A long ass time.
Yeah.
That's longer than most of my relationships.
Is part of it just the level of comfortability in all of this?
Well, you see, that's not going to last for many people who don't have jobs and so on, because even if you had a cushion and you made it through the first few months of lockdown, there's still going to be knock-on effects later on. But I don't really want to just talk about this anymore. I'm kind of over it. You know,
yeah.
It feels like we're going around in circles when we talk about this stuff, because also it's everything. I mentioned before that when I went to a party under lockdown level 3, I think, we made
nasal
tissues for nasal issues. So when I went to a party under lockdown level 3, we all made an agreement that at that lunch and the ensuing party afterwards, we were not going to talk about this stuff. And as a result, we had a really good time. So I think we must almost have a rule. It doesn't have to be a hard and fast rule, But it could be the kind of rule where we don't discuss this stuff the whole time. It's just boring.
It's bound to come up. It's like, it's like living through a world war. It's going to come up.
Or through the Rinderpest, you know. I don't remember the Rinderpest. Yeah. So we lost so many heads of cattle to the Rinderpest those days. It was terrible.
So I was preparing for Blind History today, which we're recording another episode. And by the way, you're going to be very excited if you're a Che Guevara fan, because he's the next featured prominent personality in Blind History. You know, the guy
on the gun, so many t-shirts.
That's what most people, that's all they know about him. And you know, when I did a bit of research on the guy, I mean, like anyone, it's so weird when I'm studying these people for Blind History, and it does feel like I'm studying them because I have to go online and do a bunch of research, and I read books, and I really try to put together a lot of information. But you realize when you find out about these people how absolutely fascinating their lives are, and everyone's life is. Like, if someone had never met you, Sia, or you, Leanne, or you know, anybody who's listening right now, they'd never met you. And they went into a deep, detailed, biographical research project on you. Everyone becomes interesting. And the way I can say I know that for sure is the subject for the one that we're doing today is Paul Kruger. Now, this is a guy who lived here in Pretoria. He lived in Rustenburg for a while. But he was this grumpy old man who's... The only thing I know about him is he's on a statue in Church Square, and I think I went to his house when I was probably 8 or 9, because it was a museum. It still is, I think. And I was not interested in this dude at all. But the minute you find out about people and you actually go into the details of their lives, you discover all kinds of really amazing stories about them. And I think that that's true for people that you meet in your life. Like, we all assume... When we meet someone, we do a binary calculation in our head. And by binary calculation, I mean, you go, well, I'm either 50%, 51% interested in them, or 49% not interested in them. That would make no sense at all. So you're either 51% interested or 51% disinterested, right? And if it's 51% disinterested, then you just write that person off. You go, oh, well, that's a boring person. That's how our brains work, because we don't have the time to compile details and everything. You've got to make a decision. So you meet somebody and you think, oh, well, that person's not that exciting. I don't really care about making the effort to get to know them properly. However, if you do decide you're going to get to know someone, 51% interested, you discover very quickly that everyone's interesting. Even the people you thought were dull. Does that make sense, or am I talking shit?
I'm 51% inclined to say that you might be talking shit.
Well, thanks very much.
Well, you are.
Are you going to offer a counter argument? I mean, you're just going to tell me I'm stupid and like, man, you're stupid.
No, I do understand what you mean.
I just think if you get to know someone, you end up finding reasons to like them and to dislike them, but they become very interesting. But you really have to make an effort.
I'm thinking of like the most uninteresting person I can think of.
Who's that?
In a house that I used to live in.
No. I know the most. I know the most uninteresting person you've ever. Take any one of our managers at 5FM. Any of them.
Oh no!
They're all boring as hell.
Maybe, but this woman lived two houses down from me. She lived with her mom. She was in her 60s, so her mom must have been in her 80s or 90s.
Yeah,
and she used to walk her dog, in inverted commas, because the dog was old and couldn't walk, and she used to walk with it in her arms up and down the road. And when I went hello and I tried to strike up a conversation with her because I had the same dog, she was like, hello.
Oh, God. All right.
And that was it. We never got further than that. And I think, like, there is nothing that I could learn about that woman that would be interesting.
So you just – but that's my point. And you – for all you
and
know –
then you write them off. Yeah.
You do. You write them off. So so take it back, you nasty bitch. Say that, you know what, you weren't talking shit. How dare you?
You have a point.
Speaking about dogs, the funniest thing has happened. So, you know, when Carl is lying here on the floor or on the sofa in my study and he lies there and snores through the show.
Which yes. is the unofficial which, co-host on the
well,
show.
Well, let me tell you, when the only face that I can see sometimes is Carl's and he's snoring, I'm like, Jesus, this show is boring. Maybe it's time to stop. But he lies there and he looks at me. And I've trained him now to, because I used to throw not hard, dangerous things at him, but I would throw like, this is a toilet roll without any toilet paper on it. So I'd throw things like that at him and then he'd just get a fright and he'd stop snoring and he'd wake up so that he wasn't going through the show. And now
it sounds like,
yeah, like Pavlov's dog, except it's Garrett's dog instead of Pavlov's dog. Now I just reach for it and he wakes up and he looks at me. So now he's learned to stop snoring. So I can get him to react without actually having to throw the toilet roll at him. It's hilarious. I wish people were like that.
Roll your eyes.
Okay, go.
You can teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah, shame. He's 10. Mm. Eh? He's 10 years old, this dog.
Wow.
I know. Do you remember
what is that in dog years?
Oh, it's very old in dog years. If it's
70.
Yeah, some dogs live long and some dogs live a short time.
I watched a video on the dog year thing and how wrong we are.
Oh.
So dogs actually between the ages of naught and one.
Yeah.
They basically become like 18 in human years.
Yeah. Because you can tell that they grow up very fast. I mean, you take them away from their parents and blah, blah, blah.
And then from 1 year until near the end, they hardly age at all.
Mm.
So they're not like humans where we are constantly aging.
Tell me about it.
They age very unnoticeably. So.
All right. You kind of broke up a little bit there. I think I joined the dots, though. Makes sense. So someone told me the other day that Carl and his kind of breed of dog, apparently they can live to 15 because I thought that they had a maximum lifespan of somewhere around 12. But someone who listens to the show actually sent me an Instagram message and said they have one that's 15. So I don't know.
So if he's 18 in 1 year, then he's 180.
No, you didn't hear Leanne. No. You don't listen at all. God, you're the kid in the front of the class who asks dumb questions.
Goodness me.
Oh, that's so irritating.
Gareth, there's no such thing as a dumb question.
Yes, there is. This is why I didn't become a teacher. What are you kidding? All right.
So they become 18 in a year, but then
I'm taking out my notepad and really my calculator. Leanne, you said.
Oh, God, again.
18 in 1 year.
Yes.
Did you not say that?
They get to the equivalent of 18 in 1 year. And then they stay more or less the same until like a year before they die. And then they get old very quickly.
Oh, how do we calculate that?
See, it would be like you having a growth spurt in year one. And by the end of year one, you are 18.
18 times by...
No, break it into stages of life.
No,
complicated.
73. Yeah.
Oh,
and then listen,
maths is not our strong point on this show. Let's just break it.
I got it. 1,315.
Oh, that's okay. You know what? You're right. So yeah, that's 100% because everyone else is pulling their hair out at this point. So yes, that's 100% correct. Well done.
Yeah, it's on average you live up until.
Oh, my God. All right, stop.
Average, you live up until you're 72, so that's what I did, and then plus one.
Okay, well done. 1,000. Show us your work. Did you write it down? Because I want to see your bod mass, brackets of multiplication, division, and subtraction. Yeah.
Conclusion, 1,315.
So, yeah, Carl's age, according to C.S. Sanguini, is 1,315 in human years.
Happy birthday,
Makes
Carl.
Perfect sense. So he's basically made of dust and could just fall apart at any moment. Anyway.
Just like that couple you saw in Nomsang.
Oh, those people were so old. So old.
But they were out and about.
so old.
That was not your internet buffering. That was me. I
always give up on the Friday show.
Yeah, I smiled at somebody under my mask the other day and realized that I don't think they knew I was smiling at them. That felt really stupid. Also in Mplanga, I was walking past, you know, there was this couple and they were holding hands, and I thought that's cute. And I usually smile at a couple that are holding hands. I'm not bitter and twisted about the fact that I'm not holding hands with anybody. In fact, with clammy, COVID-riddled hands. But I smiled at them, which is a natural reaction. And I realized that they probably can't see me smile.
Yeah, it's happening to me when I drive past my street security guards. I used to just smile, and now I have to wave because I realize they can't see me smiling.
Yeah, it's stupid, right?
I feel like perhaps Leanne might get this. Do you not get paranoia with your mask? So I will
see, you understandably... had paranoia without your mask. Let's not mess around.
Good point. I wear my mask understandably very rarely, as in when I leave the house and leave the car and I walk into a building. And sometimes just a flight of stairs, I go, wait, is that not a shortness of breath? Oh, that's it. I'm dying. That's a corona. Okay.
when I walk to... between my bed and my loo, I have shortness of breath.
I've just remembered that every Monday and every Friday I have an appointment with two people who are completely deranged. For 2 whole hours I have to sit here and basically hear,
but at least,
basically
at least
hear about the mental health or not necessarily mental health. Let's call it paranoia and anxiety on one hand and a total lack of understanding of that stuff on my side. So welcome, everybody.
Honestly.
Welcome to our Friday morning session, everyone. I hope you're all sitting comfortably in the circle. Well done for making it to another week of sobriety, if that's what you've done, or of being drug-free or having less paranoia. And this support circle that we're in now, this is what we do.
At least I'm aware of my mental shortcomings.
Well... isn't that
it's not
part...
like I think I'm fine.
Yeah. Greg says, wow, Sia is really dumb when he was trying to calculate Carl's age. But you know, like Ben, for example, and Mbulelo also climbed in on this, Sia. He says, I can't believe how stupid Sia is. This is Mbulelo. And you guys trying to explain biological versus chronological age to him is hilarious. So even Mbulelo in the studio is laughing his ass off at you at the moment, Sia.
Since I'm at home and I am a chronic hoarder, I can find my matric certificate and see what my results are from that. And you can see it for yourself.
I actually think that's a really good idea. I'll see if I can find mine and then we all compare notes. I bet you Leanne
I can
has,
find it in the next
But this is actually
minutes.
Not even mathematical.
No, I bet Leanne has the best math certificate of all of us.
I have the lowest. Please.
I think I got a C plus or something.
No, total. Your aggregate.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, well.
No, then. My final exam.
Yeah, but that's what I mean.
This might make you reevaluate hiring me, but I know it was in the
what?
Do I even? I don't know.
Yeah. Go on. Now you got to finish that sentence. Come on.
Gareth, let me just say, I got 4 A's. Let me start with that.
Ooh. No, then you're okay. Mm-hmm. What are you worried about?
Yeah, then my maths and science was like in the 40s.
Oh, 50. Okay. All right. Well, that explains a lot. So I was just thinking.
I passed, but it wasn't good.
According to Bulelo's feedback, and there's so many people that are criticizing Sia for being stupid, but you know, a lot of us can't add or subtract, and in this case, as you said, Leanne, it's not even a maths question because it's understanding this difference between biological and chronological age. So if you think about someone like Ben, for example, like Ben is 74 in normal human years because he behaves like a very old man, even though physically and in terms of his actual chronological age, Ben is, you know, in his 30s. Ever since I've known him, he's been in his 70s.
Yeah.
Yes.
In terms of his you know, level of kind of maturity and old manness. So that's exactly what this person is saying, Brandon. He says, I think if people had to research me, they'd think I'm a 55-year-old man going through a midlife crisis, but I'm actually only 28. You know how Discovery give you your Discovery age or whatever it is, your vitality age? And that that can tell you how old or young you are in terms of your heart and your physical fitness. I think we should have like a maturity age, because everybody has a different level of maturity, and sometimes you can even change that over days. I know some days when I'm feeling really like crazy and wacky and not particularly stable, I could behave like a 20-year-old, and then on another day I'll be this boring old man. Grumpy, boring old
man. All of that put aside, and I'd also like to get things like a spine age. I'd like to get a knee age, because I'm 25, but I'm certain my knees are at least 47.
Oh, my God. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Develop aches and pains.
I could walk upstairs and I get up to the top and I go, they need a rest.
Since we can't do maths on the show, says Erica, let's tackle an easier problem. Does Gareth have a stash of empty toilet rolls on his desk? I can't get that image out of my head. Erica, no, it's just one. It's one toilet roll that I use to discipline Carl when he snores. It's just the one. Sia, please don't do the maths. Just look at Sher. And you have your answer on how to calculate dog years. That's a good point.
Yeah. Excuse me, why is everyone piling on? How the heck would you have worked out an average of someone's years?
Yeah.
I think the way I did it makes sense.
No, you ended up with 1,300 and something. How does that ever make sense?
Yeah, you can't think that it makes sense when the whole world is telling you it didn't.
Okay, I mean, take away the 10. So he was 130-something.
No, we can't go back here.
Chris says, what a mess you guys are this morning. Are you drunk or high? Neither. I'm not. I mean, Leanne, are you drunk or high?
No, unfortunately not.
Okay, Sia's also not. He's with his parents. He's in his parents' house. He's not going to be drunk and high in there.
Yeah, no, there's nothing.
Gareth, that conversation you had yesterday with Nick Hudson on the Burning Platform was mind-blowing. You need to have him on your TV show. Yeah. We're going to do that. Don't you worry. Sia, you're not dumb. You just sometimes call a submarine a sunbarine. That's from Bev. Sure. You can get us a message, just like all these brilliant people that we've just heard from now, on 0797482090. Let us know what's going on in your life and what you're interested in talking about. Let's take a look at some headlines, shall we? You want to find out what's going on in the news? Of course you do, because informed is armed, forearmed, or what is it? Oh, God, now I'm gonna sound like Sia, but with language. Forewarned is forearmed. So if someone walks up to you suddenly and goes, oh, have you heard about what happened in Indonesia? You can go, yes, of course I know what happened in Indonesia. I listened to cliffcentral.com. And you won't feel like a moron. Okay, so let me see what's available on the news.
That's a phrase.
What? What is?
Informed is...
No. Forewarned is forearmed is what I was thinking of. And it's actually... It's not even a good phrase.
For the next 30 minutes.
You're having a slow brain day. All right. So first of all, there's an interesting story, and it's actually an analysis in News 24. And usually they don't have particularly good analysis, but this is a good one. Zim Junkett should set alarm bells ringing for the breach of separation of state and party. This is important because you remember Nosiviwe Mapisang Rakula, and the ANC have been fined, effectively. They've been told to pay for that very strange ANC flight to Harare with her and Tony Yengeni and Nomvula Mokonyane and Ace Mahashule. They all went off to Zim for some inexplicable reason, but they said it was on party business because they only met with ZANU-PF. So it couldn't have been, you know, a government thing. And now they have to pay, or at least the ANC has to pay. And this is something that's come up a lot. in South Africa is that presidents and cabinet ministers and even MPs sometimes confuse their role and the fact that they're not paid by the ANC. They are paid by South Africa, by taxpayers, by the state. When you work for the state, you put the state first. It would be like me working for Leanne and Sia, but Sia and I just have a sort of a partnership outside of the show where we sell t-shirts, but I actually get my salary from Leanne. And then I end up doing work for Sia while I'm being paid by Leanne. That's not right. And I don't think a lot of people in government are able to figure that out. It's too complicated for them. It's like Sia's equation for dog years earlier. They just can't figure out how it is that sometimes they have to do work for the state, the people of South Africa, not just ANC voters and not just the ANC. So it's an interesting article that I think maybe you might want to have a look at if you're on there, you know. So that's some of the news, or rather some of the analysis you need to hear around the news. There's been another high-profile arrest, Vincent Smith, who has given evidence and allegations against high-profile politicians in connection with Bosasa corruption. That is a massive injection of credibility as they build a case. This is really good. And all those people who have been quietly supporting Cyril from the sidelines are going, you see, he is playing 4D chess. He's a smart guy and he's been biding his time. And just wait, because Cyril's got a plan. I hope. And one of those people's my dad. I really hope he's right. I hope anyone else who has that opinion is right. I would love nothing more than for Cyril to be some genius who's just been working too quickly and too cleverly behind the scenes for most of us to catch up. And if that is true, I will apologize and I will be the first to give him credit. So that's a good story. And, you know, a lot of people are saying that this means that Ace Magashule is surely in the NPA and the Hawks crosshairs. And that means that we've got to look out for Shamila Batoy because, you know, she could be in some danger. And if we can just get one really high profile arrest, and I know there've already been some people who've been arrested, but if we can get a massive, like an Ace, sure, that'll set alarm bells ringing in the ANC. And for all we know, that could be exactly what we're required to do to get the wheels turning in this effort to end corruption. Apparently, according to Amazon in America, 20,000 of their workers got COVID-19. That sounds like a lot, but it's actually not, because Amazon employs so many people. So that's just an interesting statistic that comes in from international news. Cape Town Airport has welcomed its first international plane to land under level one, which is really good news. Of course, only business travel from most countries. But Transport Minister and man boy Fikile Mbalula gave an update on the new travel regulations on Wednesday. And we'll look at that list, by the way, for people who aren't sure whether you can go to certain countries or whether those people from those countries can come here. There are very strict rules still about international travel.
Isn't that how he's described?
Man boy, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, to me anyway. So let me tell you about this. Airport management welcomed passengers on Emirates flight EK772 from Dubai at 1 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. And airport manager Dion Klute explained stringent safety protocols that have been, hand sanitizing and wearing masks. Stringent. So stringent. What, do you have to put your feet into a tray filled with disinfectant? I don't know what they're talking about, but they seem to think that these are stringent safety protocols. The only stringent safety protocol, if you're a complete paranoid nutcase, is a hazmat suit. And unless they start handing those out, it's all just a big act, in my opinion.
I've never been so excited at an airplane on a tarmac before. I watched the footage yesterday, and they did some symbolic spraying of the airplane, like there was a fire engine and they sprayed it with water. It was some symbol of something. Wow. But it was just exciting. I was like, oh, look at that. Okay. International borders are open. Oh, that's so cool. Honestly, it was just a couple of seconds of coolness. But look, we're glad it's happening.
Yeah. Costa Semenya's lawyer has explained that they want to bring an appeal ban ruling. This whole thing is dragging on so long now that I think many people are just losing interest. But the fact is that Costa Semenya's lawyer has said that they are going to approach the European Court of Human Rights to challenge her ban. I don't know how to feel about this. Obviously, I think that Costa Semenya is a talented athlete who should be able to take part in the events that she's already taken part in and the ones that she can't, and she should be able to run. But there's a part of me that's...
You know, by the pure fact that she's still sponsored and is appearing in these really long adverts for various brands shows what the general public opinion is, and that's in support of her. Well, if there was anything untoward, brands would pull away from her, but they're not.
Yeah,
they're
but keeping up. I also think that brands are using people like Costa to virtue signal that they're good because she's in this
struggle. Of course they are.
Yeah, so I don't know, because if you really care about sport. And I know people who are much more, I mean, yesterday I got into an argument with Mbulelo and people were laughing and they're saying like, you know, Gareth, you know nothing about sports, so shut up. But people who do love sport are concerned, I think legitimately, that sport has to be fair. Otherwise, you know, it's apples and apples and apples and bananas, basically. If you have an advantage, whether it's biologically, in terms of just amazing genes, like let's say, you know, Usain Bolt is just he's faster than everyone else when he comes out of the womb. That's a biological advantage. And maybe Costa's also got that kind of biological advantage. You know, with higher levels of testosterone and all the rest. So if that's the case, then fair enough, she can compete as a woman against other women. But if you find out that that's because she actually isn't technically by definition the same as other women, then is it still fair? And I've always got a problem with, you know, these kind of transgender athletes, and that's not what I'm saying Costa is, obviously, but the transgender guys who turn into girls and then they like beat up girls in wrestling and that kind of thing. I've got a major problem with that. That to me is abuse. That's not competing fairly. So it's such a complicated area, and I don't know how this is going to go, but the two-time Olympic gold medalist has been barred from competing in races between 400 meters and a mile unless she takes hormone-suppressing drugs. This is because Semenya has differences of sexual development, a condition that causes her body to produce elevated testosterone levels, and a decision is going to take quite a lot of time, apparently. So we wish her well, because I have no beef with Costa Semenya, and I think she must be allowed to do what she does. She's a very talented athlete. No doubt she trains really hard and she puts in all the effort. And if she has some natural advantages, let people like, you know, the sports bodies decide whether or not that advantage makes it fair or not. To me, those lines get very blurry at some point.
Yeah.
Very blurry. So good luck, Costa, and I hope this thing is resolved. I genuinely don't know what my position is, though. I'm happy to be told. Okay. One last story from the BBC. Trump is in quarantine as a top top aide has tested positive for coronavirus. He tweeted that both he and Melania were now awaiting their own test results. The 31-year-old advisor to the president is the closest aide to Mr. Trump to test positive so far. She traveled with him on Air Force One to a debate in Ohio, which was this famous debate that they had on Tuesday night. Ms. Hicks was pictured getting off the presidential jet on Tuesday in Cleveland without a mask. She was in even closer proximity to him aboard the presidential helicopter Marine One on Wednesday when the president held a rally in Minnesota. So she's tested positive for coronavirus, but, I mean, she's young. She's in her 30s, so she's probably asymptomatic. And therefore, the chances of her passing it on, according to the people that I've been reading, very low. But let's see. Trump, of course, will be tested. And unlike us mere mortals, they'll have those results instantly. And
absolutely. It's the leader of the free world.
Sure, they'll know whether he's safe or not. Because
if only quarantine for Trump meant that he also had his phone taken away.
Oh, my God. You know, even his campaign must be thinking that a lot of the time. No, really. Imagine managing him. Leanne, you manage some brands. You do their social media for them, right?
Yeah. Well, I think what's difficult is some of the brands aren't, because they've done their own social media before, they aren't willing to relinquish completely and let someone else do it. And then they end up posting shit.
See, but if you had to manage him,
somebody else should take,
you'd go crazy. You'd take it away. See, but part of the appeal of him is that he's not one of these spun, polished politicians. I think that's why a lot of people like him, is because he's just a real person. And you can see that he's sometimes just angry tweeting, or that he's sometimes just ego tweeting. And I think for a lot of people, that makes him very real. You know, if you're too polished as a president, and trust me, I don't think it's good either. I think it's damaging to him and to the presidency that he's just tweeting. But the argument from people in his camp is that Donald Trump talks directly to the people. He doesn't go through the media, first of all, because he can't trust the media. And I think that's been widely found to be true. You can see that the media in America have a serious agenda around Donald Trump. So he talks directly to people through Twitter. And as crazy as he gets sometimes, and as stupid as some of his tweets are, and frankly, so are his comments in person a lot of the time. So that's the real Trump. People do get a feeling of authenticity out of him, which is something we've never had from politicians. He's broken that political mold. He's broken it. You can see that whole idea of like some advisor spinning a message with like talking points. That whole thing has fallen apart. I don't think you'll ever get a politician like that again, who people will fall for or like.
It's a conference anymore.
Do you know what I mean?
Tweet.
I mean, you've watched a lot of these shows where they try to get in behind the scenes, like The West Wing or The Fixer or any of those. And they show you how politics used to be, where there was a team, a press team, and, you know, the press secretary, and those people would control, and they'd sanitize messages, and they'd make sure that you were hitting the right demographics and all of that stupid shit. And I think most people are so tired of that. They're tired of spin. And Donald Trump's broken it, so you can never go back.
He'll tweet in 2 days, "I'm fine.
No.
I'm the greatest ever.
I'm so healthy. The coronavirus has given up on me totally."
Exactly. "The coronavirus has affected me literally."
Literally. Yeah, because he said bigly, didn't he, once?
Exactly. So literally.
We're doing great. We're doing great. Bigly.
Exactly.
Do you want to give us that travel list?
Okay.
That might be helpful, especially if anyone – I've told you I'm not planning any international travel until I don't have to spray shit on my hands and wear a mask the whole way through the flight. That I will not do.
There's so few people wanting to travel. I read a story about these two complete strangers who were on a travel website and said, "Well, if no one wants to travel, then why don't we go together?" And the two of them did.
Yeah.
Absolute strangers, and off they went to all different countries. They're from America. They wanted to come to South Africa, but they couldn't get in. But they've been to a whole lot of other countries and had a whale of a time, not caring, not giving a damn.
Well, I did get an email from somebody, and I'm trying to find it now, who listens to the show, and she said that she's got massive interest. She works in travel. And she said they've never been busier because people are so keen to get out. And I don't know if it's local travel or international. I can't remember now. I mean,
I know that email. There was a particular airline that she works for.
Yeah, that's it. And she said they've been full. They've been really busy.
I'll find it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she made a lot of bookings over the past couple of days.
Tons of bookings.
Bigly.
A ton of bookings.
She made great. Giant, tremendous, bigly bookings.
Well, this is quite a long list, but these are the countries that are considered high risk and from which tourists are not allowed into South Africa.
When you say high risk, you mean in the opinion of our government, who frankly are high risk. To, in my opinion, they are the high risk.
Specifically, yes, yeah. Minister Naledi Pandor and the rest of the international relations.
Hold on a second. I saw her on TV announcing this list 2 nights ago. Holy shit, she looks terrible.
Yeah,
I don't know what's happened to her. Has she been sleeping on one side of the bed, or has she been sleeping on her side and squashed her face up very badly for like 48, 72 hours before they filmed that? Because
I know.
What do you mean?
She looks, I mean, listen, I know it's awful.
She may have had a mild stroke.
Well, I think this, maybe she's got bruising or something. She didn't look good.
Oh.
I don't know what's going on. Maybe she's got a skin condition, and I'm not being mean here, but when you see someone you haven't seen them for a long time on TV, and Naledi Pandor is, you know, we all know that she's one of the good ministers, and she does a lot of hard work behind the scenes. And I remember meeting her when she was Minister of Science and Technology, and so she's no idiot. So I don't throw her into that class of like ANC clowns who really just take the job. But she really, it shocked me. I genuinely went when I saw her on TV. What does she say?
Okay, so full list of countries that are considered high risk, according to the Department of International Relations, pardon me. Uh-huh. Albania, Argentina, Armenia, Austria, Bahrain, Belgium, Bolivia, Bosnia, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica, Croatia, the Czech Republic, Denmark, Ecuador, France, Georgia, Greece, Guatemala, Guyana, Honduras, Hungary, Iceland, India, Iran, Iraq, Ireland, Israel, Jamaica, Jordan, Kuwait, Lebanon, Luxembourg, Maldives, Malta, Mexico, Moldova, right, Montenegro.
Stop, because we're only at M and I'm already bored. Where can we go? Because I think that list's probably shorter.
No, those are people who are not allowed to go to South Africa.
Okay, let me look at the rest of the list.
So in other words, you can go to Zimbabwe and Botswana.
Basically.
No, I think those are people who are not allowed into South Africa. Am I right?
Okay.
No,
yeah, exactly. So Portugal, Qatar, Romania, Russia, Switzerland, United Arab Emirates, United Kingdom, USA, and Venezuela. Still not allowed in the country.
Wow. Those are the countries.
Yeah, still not allowed.
And China? Is China on the list?
China is not.
In other words,
people from China are allowed to travel in South Africa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So if you look at it in terms of the world map, it is almost the whole of South America, a lot of Central America, a bit of North America, and a whole chunk of Europe.
That's not
allowed into South Africa. Yeah.
So what, we're basically going to allow Australians and Chinese people in, and that's it?
Australians, a lot of other African countries, Asia.
All we need is more Australians and Chinese in South Africa.
And what is that? Greenland and Iceland allowed into the country? Yes.
I can't believe they're letting those people in.
No, I think Iceland was on the list of not allowed in.
No.
Oh, yes. Iceland is not. So Greenland, yes. Do you have any relatives in Greece? Greenland?
There's like four people in Greenland.
Yeah. Clearly, they can come in.
Yeah, okay, great. That was.
Isn't that where Father Christmas lives?
He's in Lapland.
Oh.
So we'll still have Christmas, if that makes you feel better.
You see, if anyone had listened to the first hour this morning, they would have figured out that between us, we know nothing. Leanne thinks I talk shit. See, I can't add. we don't know the difference between biological and chronological age. Then they would have heard a bit of news. Then they would have heard this unending list of countries that can't come here and countries we can't go to. And they would have finished it all. They would have capped it all off by learning that Leanne still believes in Father Christmas and that he lives in London.
Yes.
Well, I was just concerned about whether he can come and deliver presents in December.
Oh, that's great.
It is very important.
That's terrific.
By the way, I did find my matric certificate.
Uh-huh. What does it say?
44 for maths. Yep. I did tell you it was bad. I did.
Wow. I'll have to dig mine out.
So I got 4 C pluses, a B, and a G.
A G? What was your G for?
What's a C plus?
CF, hold on. Who cares about the C plus? What was the G for?
Accounting.
Oh, okay. I'm on your side.
I really stuffed up.
I didn't even take accounting. I did in the first 2 years of high school, and the teacher actually said to me, you must not take this subject. That's when you know you're bad.
Well, you see, I was fooled because both my parents are accountants. But the apple falls very far from the tree.
All right. Well, what we're going to do in the next hour, among other things, is we're going to chat to a father and son business in Pretoria who've survived lockdown. In fact, they're expanding. I think that's really brave. They're also proudly South African. And I believe that one of the things that we can do on this show is introduce you to businesses that you might want to support, not because they're anything but quality, but also because they have a great story. And I'm going to introduce you to two people who you haven't met before on the show, Bala and Dushan Pillay, who are the CEO and the director of Casa Italian Terriers. They're opening up a huge big shop in Menlyn, in Pretoria. And they're having their grand opening is this weekend. And you can go and shop for really great, high-quality furniture, which, you know, if you want to live in a nice house and maybe lockdown has taught you that, these guys are the people to talk to. So I will, I'll get them on in the next hour to chat to us. And then George Meany joins us, as usual, on a Friday to give us a little bit of an Auto Central update, find out about what's happening in the world of motoring. And, of course, your calls, your thoughts, and your comments, and sometimes even your insults on
079-748-2090.
Yeah. So here someone says, even if Trump has COVID-19 and even though he eats McDonald's every day, he is still in better health than Biden. That's from Rikus. Yeah, you're probably right. Shame. God. And apparently, another thing about Joe Biden, Kelly says, apparently he has a speech impediment, which is why he may be mistaken for being senile on snow.
Oh, it's just all of a mess. I don't even want to think about it.
The story with Biden is that he used to stutter when he was a kid. But what he's doing now is that's not a stutter.
His brain stuttering.
I saw a video when I woke up this morning. Someone sent me a video of him making a speech about building better, you know, building infrastructure as part of his campaign. And while he's while he's making the speech about building better, the sign falls off the front of his lectern.
The irony of that.
Yeah. And Sean says, you please stop calling it COVID. It is the China virus. That's correct.
Oh, yes.
People are outraged that China is one of the places that can travel freely in and out of South Africa or people from China, and that you can go to China. You know, someone like Vessel says, why is China not on the list? They should be on that list. That's where it all started. Yep.
Yeah, I'm confirming once again, as it looks, yes, they are allowed to come into the country.
And then someone who listens to us from Thailand, Eid, says, you can come to Thailand. You know what, Eid? I'm in. That's something I would do. I'd go to Thailand. How nice.
For a beach holiday.
A beach holiday. Yeah, I'd love to go to a beach holiday. And then some people are saying that the Chinese virus case should be called the Kung Flu. That's a little bit racist, isn't it?
That's what Trump called it.
It's a little bit racist.
Paul
says Joe Biden's also weird because he likes to sniff young girls. Yeah, all right.
Excuse me?
No, he does. He smells their hair. It's very weird. It's a very Joe Biden thing. Yeah, Leanne, if a man smells your hair, what does that do to you?
Mm-mm.
It's gross, right?
I can't even. Well, ew.
Pucha is a particular kind of gross.
Yeah.
Pucha is way worse than ew. That's a good sound.
What do you do?
Pucha. No, he smells their hair, and there are a couple of videos you can see of not that anyone's searching for them, but you can go and look because they're all over the place. Michelle says, I'm in hospital to have surgery on my nose and throat. You guys are making me laugh before I go in. Well, you better laugh now, Michelle, because you might not be able to laugh when you come out.
Oh, shame. Oh.
What's going on your nose?
Yeah, that sounds horrible. Ugh.
Or you could double it up and have some rhinoplasty if you want to.
Typical Sia going straight
for
you.
She may be having a septoplasty.
Typical Sia.
I've watched way too many videos about
it. Sia's looking at this as a way to improve your looks. Meanwhile, she could have serious nose and throat issues.
Absolutely. Figure out your breathing and also figure out if you want to remove the bridge on your nose, want to make it smaller, bigger, wider.
Sia would not miss an opportunity to get some plastic surgery at the same time as he sorts out health issues.
So.
Oh, absolutely. I've already consulted an OT for my hand. I thought, well, yeah, let's see what the OT says.
By the way, how's that hand of yours looking since you chopped it in half?
Still not looking great, but I think I will never ever... Do you want to play some sad theme music
Use your strong hand, Sia.
Right. Use my strong hand, child.
Use your strong hand.
Get some sad theme music. Okay. I don't think I'll ever be able to get it straight. So this is my... So
then it would fit in with the rest of you, Sia. Straight is not your thing.
Oh, I see what you did there.
You be you.
So they'll get to see this, I guess, in post. So this is my left straight hand, and this is as straight as my right hand goes.
It's crooked.
Yes, as Hillary.
Yeah, it's as crooked as Hillary. You should call that your Hillary hand.
So I don't think it will ever get completely straight anymore.
Where is it not straightening?
No,
at your knuckle.
At the knuckle, yeah.
Right there.
That is well embarrassing too.
I know.
Don't worry.
I've got a
gonky finger, the one that I cut with the Avo. Can you see?
Yes.
Okay. This is very visual, so this is boring for the audience, but we'll both post pictures, Sia and I, of our gonky hands.
I'll show you my gonky boob.
Oh, go for it. Let's go. This is what I've been waiting for. How many years have I been working with you until you show me your titties?
If you need to visualize it, my right hand is constantly in a royal wave.
Yes.
It's just always ready
for royal wave. Yeah, it's very good. All right, listen, it's 7 o'clock already. We've been talking shit for a whole hour. And look at what you've missed out on if you've only woken up now.
Oh, goodness me.
Amazing things.
Let's try and do better when we come back.
No, okay. I think that we've ended on a real highlight here, comparing our weird body parts. I think this is very important for the... for the future evolution of mankind. And that's why
I can talk about E equals to MC squared after this.
Ooh, even saying that, I could see the steam coming out of your ears.
I'm joking. I won't.
CliffCentral.com. Stick around. We've got loads of good shit for you coming up in the next hour. And you can join us by sending us a message or a voice note or whatever it is that you want to, just like you would WhatsApp your friends on 0797482090.
CliffCentral.com